the strategies and all the capabilities, building all your hopes and dreams and all the possibilities. It ain't rocket surgery, but maybe it is. Oh, come on down, we're gonna sit around, we're gonna get into your business. Get into your business, that's right, get into your business. Oh, we'll get into your business.
Welcome to the Small Business Miracles Podcast. I'm Jeff Randolph. This Small Business Podcast is brought to you by EAG Advertising and Marketing. We're going to talk about marketing. We're also here to celebrate entrepreneurs. We have marketing news and advice that business owners can use to keep moving forward. This week, we're talking with Ray Rucker. He's the Managing Director and Chief Connector at Connect 5000. But first, we've got another small business marketing tip to talk about.
We'll get it to your business.
Today's small business marketing tip is to go ahead and apply for that award. There are a lot of awards available out there, from major national prestigious awards for customer service excellence to the local media award for employee health programs in the city. Are any of those worth your time? Well, let's paint a picture of when these come in handy. Imagine you're in a tight labor market and you're trying to attract top talent. Having a best places to work or a coolest office award or recognition for the charitable work that you do can really sway top talent your way. And if you're an agency with a lot of creative awards, well, you get it. Success is attractive. But the process itself can be valuable to the company. If you're filling out a form to enter for an award that recognizes what you do for employee health or diversity programs or for work-life balance, even the process of filling out the award entry can teach you something about where your program may be falling short, and that helps your company get better. Yeah, some of these are basically an advertising program to raise money for the awarding entity, but whether that award is being given by a media outlet or a local chapter of a professional association, there's real value in the process and bragging rights. So, congratulations on winning that award. You've earned it.
We'll get it to your business.
Hey, we're here with our featured guest. It's Ray Rucker. He's the Managing Director and Chief Connector at Connect 5000. Ray, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
I mean, we're just, it's we've talked about breakfast already. We're up. We're ready to get to it.
Yes, we are.
Well, let's start out with Connect 5000. Tell us about Connect 5000 and what you do. What is it you'd say you do here?
So I am the CEO of Connect 5000, and in a nutshell, we provide fractional business development reps to software, tech, and SaaS companies nationwide. So if you need business development reps to fill the top of the funnel, full-time, part-time, short-term, long-term, we are there to provide help to set up demos, sales conversations, and discovery calls.
Oh, so really, you're setting all kinds of appointments, making sure that everybody gets their inbox full, their calendar full, everybody's ready to go.
Correct, because sales reps love to sell, they just hate to prospect.
Any particular industry that you're in, or is this like every industry, you're across the board?
Mainly software, technology, and SaaS firms.
Yeah. Okay. That covers plenty of people, I would say.
Yes, we will never run out of people to reach out to.
And you reach out to people for a living.
Yes.
You are also an author. I'm holding in my hand your book, How to Score from First Base in Sales. And it's a step-by-step guide to shorten sales cycles and multiply revenue. I'm holding my autographed copy, which makes me cooler than most other people out there. So, I mean, that's not bad. Tell us about the book. What is this that I'm holding in my hands here?
Sure. Well, first of all, your copy is probably worth an extra 50 cents a dollar on the open market.
Oh, yeah.
Since I autographed
it. It's signed.
So back in the day, actually, this has an EAG group story. I knew Paul Weber back in the day, and he actually did the second version of our website, and he encouraged me to blog. This is back when blogging was the rage. So years later, I had about 120 blog posts and 20 videos, and it's always been on my bucket list to write a book. So I tried it many, many times, ran into my friend Stacy, who I've known since she was 16, and she said, I have a friend who can write this for you. She's a stay-at-home mom, former English teacher, and you should talk to her. And I was very hesitant. So I decided, let me give it one more shot, and then I gave up. So I reached out to her. This is pre-pandemic, and I said, here's 120 blog posts. Here's my videos. I need you to put it together and make it flow, but keep it in my own voice. And so Sarah, who's a copywriter, did a lot of it for me. And during the pandemic-ish, towards the end, finally finished it up because there was nothing else to do and we couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So got it done, and it's been a nice calling card for me to drop off to prospects, friends, business owners, and such.
Yeah, it's a solid gift with lots of great advice in it. I mean, there's the shortening sales cycles and multiplying revenue, something everyone can get behind. But you've got templates in here. You have all kinds of sample emails, sample call scripts, sample voicemails to leave. Like, there's a lot going on in here.
Oh, thanks. Well, I tried to.
I've read it. Let's be fair. I have read this book.
You're like the fourth person who's actually read it. No, it's more of a step-by-step guide for business prospecting, because a lot of people know how to sell, but half the battle, I think, is getting in the door, and the other half is closing the deal, and it's a numbers game. But to kind of provide a step-by-step guidance that they can take what they like and discard what they don't to help them set up their own prospecting to go after targeted clients.
Okay. And so let's shift back to the business for a second and talk about your ideal client, because you are making calls for we've talked about the industries you're in. But, you know, is there a particular client that is like, hey, I know if I'm talking to this kind of a client, it's a cakewalk. We know we're going to knock it out of the park for them. Is that, I don't know if that's a certain client mindset or a certain client size or their product or service that they do is this kind of thing that fits. Tell me, what is that secret sauce?
So I would say, to answer your original question, our best clients are technology clients who have emerging technologies. They have a established client base and they simply need to go after more. I've had clients I've had folks reach out to me who are pre-revenue, who have an idea, but they've never sold it to a single person yet, which is not the best for us today. Mm-hmm. But I would say that our target market is sales and marketing executives who have a team of sales reps who maybe don't want to prospect, they don't have the time or the desire, but they need someone to follow up on MQLs, SQLs, do pure cold outreach, and or a combination of both. But I think if you have at least 10 or more clients, you have an ideal customer profile. And, you know, how do we go get the next 10, the next 100, and the next whatever?
That match those. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I see.
So if someone's paying them already and they don't have the bandwidth to go after more, that's where we step in. And so I have a team of 20 plus reps scattered across the country who do this on behalf of the clients.
Just a force multiplier for companies where you're stacking onto the existing sales force and getting people right in the either the top or middle or even bottom of that funnel, it sounds like.
Correct. And so we have a client that's a publicly traded firm. We have small to mid-sized companies, so it's all over the board. But at the end of the day, everyone needs help in this arena.
And thinking about that kind of a client, I'm imagining that it's difficult to get their attention a lot of times. You've done a lot of work to get to those hard to reach prospects. And in the book, you know, I'm seeing everything from buying a cup of coffee for them in advance and saying, hey, you know, here's a cup of coffee. It's on me. Now, can we, you know, have a conversation? What are some of the ways that you've tried to break through the clutter to get that prospect's attention, especially, someone busy and important, a decision maker?
So I think part of it is a pure numbers game. You know, the more number of people you reach out to, the better your chances. I also think it's a luck and timing game. But I would say, you know, 2014 was probably a change when you could, you know, like clockwork, you know, reach out to 100 folks, 90% of them would say, or 90% went to voicemail, talked to 10 folks and set up 4 to 5 meetings. Mm-hmm. Those days are over unless you have some phenomenal marketing that I'm missing out on. But I would say is they're in the pandemic helped accelerate email, where everyone and their brother used email almost exclusively because people were working remote and you didn't have phone numbers. But I think it goes back to the tried and true of, you know, the basics of the phone works when it doesn't. Email works, LinkedIn outreach works, but doing multiple touch points rather than just relying on one point of entry.
Oh, yeah, spectacular. It really is numbers. It's making sure that you've got the right message, but in a way that gets attention.
Yes. I mean, obviously, we like referrals and we like networking. And that is very effective. But I've always told folks is when your marketing department leads dry up or they're not coming in fast enough, when your referrals networking aren't getting what you need, you can either sit by your inbox or sit by your phone and wait for the phone to ring, or you can go make things happen.
Oh, yeah. Solid advice all the way across the board. Let's you ready for the lightning round? Let's take you into the lightning round.
I'm ready.
You have no
I'm
way
ready.
To know what we could be talking about in this lightning round.
Oh, I practiced last night.
Did you just random people asking you questions that are, you know, crazy, weird questions like what's your favorite kind of ice cream or whatever?
The Jeopardy round.
Perfect. Well, you are set then. Let's start with this one. As somebody who has that professional call center, what are the worst calls that you've received from an outbound calling service? Do you mess with them? Do you ever answer that phone?
I think the worst are my direct competitors who didn't do any research. But I will typically, it's gotten sneaky. Now, if it says spam risk, I won't answer it. But sometimes it looks like a phone number. Like, I think I should answer that. But because I'm in the business, I try and be polite and professional and take the call and tell them no thanks. But they have a tough job, so there's no need to pour gasoline on the fire.
Right. What's the most brilliant opening cold call sales line that you've heard or used? One that would be deserving of a cold call hall of fame.
There is a gal on LinkedIn. Her name is Sarah Plowman. She just started her own firm, but I don't typically use it myself. But one of her lines is, you don't expecting a cold call on a Monday. Can I have 27 seconds and explain why I'm calling? Mm-hmm. And it's short, sweet, to the point. It's direct. And I don't know if it works for her. She posts a lot of videos on TikTok, but she seems to use that line effectively. And I would like to steal it. And I sent it to my reps the other day.
I think, you know, you being on the podcast now and saying it, I'm pretty sure it's yours now. You've put your own spin on it. You can use it.
I'm going to trademark it this afternoon.
Perfect. Let's see. When you are, we all have conversations when we're on the phone and whatever distracts us or things didn't go our way. And you're bombing a conversation. So 100%, you're bombing this conversation. It could be business. It could be social. What's the fail-proof phrase or question that you use to kind of course correct that conversation and get out of that bad spot?
I try and use the old political thing and just stall and answer with a non-answer, but I'll try and not change the subject quickly, but kind of redirect it back to them. Maybe it's a control thing. Maybe it's a manipulation thing. But if things are falling apart badly, my go-to is, hey, let's restart this from the beginning and get back to the basics of the core reason for you taking my call.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's a good course correct. That's a good way to move things back where it should be. Start right over.
I try.
So you're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner. What's the best thing about being an entrepreneur?
I would call it the F's of life. And so the three F's that I think are highly critical for me is freedom, flexibility, and fulfillment. So freedom in the sense of you plan your day. I mean, obviously there's things that are unavoidable, but freedom to plan your day how you see fit. Flexibility, you can literally work anywhere, whether it's a coffee shop, home, or office. We used to have office space years ago. I have a 14-year-old daughter and 11-year-old son, and so I try to plan my life around their events so I can be part of their life. And then fulfillment is I actually like what I do. I mean, yes, it's work, but at times it's more like problem solving than it is work. Mm-hmm. So, and then the other things, I think outside of it, the other three F's, you know, faith, family, and friends.
Oh, that you have just doubled down on all the F words.
The six F words.
You didn't even use the obvious one, but well done. Well done. And now, if those are the best things about being an entrepreneur, what's the hardest thing?
I would say the hardest thing, I think it's a great responsibility to be responsible for 20 to 30 person's livelihood. Mm. Obviously, you want to show up and do your best, but sometimes there's things beyond your control that can affect their livelihood. And it might be the economy. It might be a pandemic. And it might be, you know, things beyond your control where an executive leaves. I think that's the unpredictability part can be the toughest because it's not anyone's fault, but it affects your folks on staff.
Yeah, 100%. I'm gonna ask you to kind of look retrospectively at your career at this point. And you know, you've been doing this for a long time. You've got it down. You know all the F words that are all of the benefits of being an entrepreneur. If you were to look back and time travel back to the first year in business and look back at you running first year, what kind of advice would you give to first year you?
The first year me would be to level set expectations. I think that everyone has probably unrealistic expectations on what to expect in the first year, but everything takes time. And most things in life, unless you have an Instagram story of 13 months, most things take longer to build and grow than you expect. And it's kind of like having that happy balance of keep your feet on the ground, but your head in the sky. Mm-hmm. But also, I think it's also important, I don't know if I'm answering your question, is to have a nice, healthy cash cushion of savings, just because, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And there's a lot of ups and downs and a lot of roller coasters in the first year. So that's what I would tell myself.
That's solid advice. Would having that cash reserve, having that cash reserve would have helped quite a bit. Is that, would you have said, hey, don't start this until you have that?
I don't know. I would start it. I would say is ideally in a perfect world, have 3 to 6 months of cash in the bank, expect to work hard and long. And it's kind of like a pregnancy in the sense of a lot of activities going on. You may not see any fruit anytime soon, but all of a sudden one day a baby pops out. Because I think to myself, when I started this company, my goal was to get to 5 reps, and it seemed it took forever to get there. And now we're at 20 to 30. But also, it's the 10-year overnight success story that you hear over and over from folks who, they finally found their groove kind of thing. And maybe Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hour rule.
Yeah, too. Where you become an expert after 10,000 hours of doing that same thing over and over again. And you can then look at something and go, yeah, that's not right. Or yes, this is right. Let's keep moving forward.
Right. But it's also, it's a tired, worn out cliche, but also, you know, sometimes the journey is more important than the actual destination.
Did you feel as though you enjoyed that journey, or are there parts of it you would just leave behind in a heartbeat?
I think it's just natural growing pains of just starting something. And, you know, there's certain things that can't be, instant gratification overnight. I mean, we live in a world of Netflix, Amazon, and Uber, where you can just get something overnight. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, certain things, relationships, work ethic, building something, it just takes time. And it's hard at times when everything can be grabbed upon demand.
Yeah. Give yourself some grace. Know that it takes some time. You'll get there. Just keep grinding it out. Know that it's going to be a lot of hard work.
But also be ruthlessly clear of what you're in the business of doing and where you're going. I remember years ago, I had a business coach. We met every Friday for an hour. And I think one of his first things he did to me was he wadded up his piece of paper and said, throw it at the target. And I thought, I don't know what the target is. He goes, exactly. And that sticks with me years later. So I think clarity happens. Sometimes it happens overnight, but sometimes it's just a long process.
Man, Ray Ricker, you're hitting the target. I'm going to take you out of the lightning round. Well done. Well, thanks. It was as simple as that. There's nothing to it.
All right.
Easy. Tell people where they can find you if they want to know more about Connect 5000, if they want to find you. Where do they go? What do they do?
Sure. If you want to find us, please visit www.connect5000.com. And unfortunately, connect is not spelled any way other than how it sounds, of CONNECT, the number 5000.com, or find Connect 5000 or me, Ray Rucker, on LinkedIn. And I think I'm the only Ray Rucker there, but it's RUECKER.
Perfect. Ray, thanks for being on the show. Ray Rucker, CEO of Connect 5000. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
We'll get it to your business.
And that is our show. Thanks so much to our guest, Ray Rucker. And thank you for listening to the Small Business Miracles podcast. Remember to subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Drop us a line on the website at eagadv.com if you have any thoughts. Until then, we'll be out here helping entrepreneurs with another Small Business Miracle.
All right. Talking about your strategies and all the capabilities, building all your hopes and dreams and all the possibilities. It ain't rocket surgery, but maybe it is. Oh, come on down, we're gonna sit around, we're gonna get into your business. Get into your business, that's right, get into your business. Oh, we'll get into your business.